Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like, as we love continue to bring you this great content, and it's the content that you guys have grown to love and have supported us throughout the years, and we appreciate you guys being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Well, I'm going to say this. This is going to be a unique interview today because I have two people on at the same time. We have Mark and Mary Kay Liston. Now, interestingly enough, and you guys are going to have heard me maybe talk a little bit about this, we're going to be doing some episodes and stuff and things wrapped around some of the places that Paul and some of the disciples went during the early church years, over the Greece and Turkey area, kind of in that Mediterranean area as we went on a cruise. Well, during this cruise, I met a few Christians, a few other Christ followers, believers who had compelling stories. And I've got two of them on today. And so sit back, relax, unless you're driving, don't relax too much, okay? But make sure that you guys get your ears open, ready to listen, because these guys have a great story. And then, of course, at the end, we're going to have something for you guys to be able to check out for yourselves. So without further ado, Mary Kay and Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, T.S. We are so excited to join you again. It's great to see you. We missed you when we left the cruise.
I know. I mean, I was enjoying. Hey, I'm ready to get back in that spa and go back to that restaurant and eat some more good food. So
that's right. We talk about the hand of God, how the hand of God works. Amen. And who thought you and I sitting in a big pool with waves in the middle of an afternoon would have led to this? And like, what do you do? Well, what do you do? Well, you tell me your story. I told you my story. Like, oh my goodness, how neat is this?
Amen. Then we call those divine appointments. Together for,
I'm sorry.
I said,
and I loved our services on Sunday too.
Amen. Hey, that was great. Both of them were awesome. And you know what we call those? Divine appointments. That's what those are.
They are
divine appointments. Good. And I am so glad I met you guys. And of course, the other couple from Australia, and I'm going to actually get to interview those guys here later on in March. So yeah, so I've got we got a few people off that cruise that were Christ followers, just like you guys, that are also going to be on the show. And yes, the Sunday services were great. But anyway, I want to jump into your story because I think you guys' story is so compelling. And I love the testimony that you guys were able to share. And of course, Mark, you got in depth with sharing that with me while we were sitting there swimming around in the pool, that warm pool spa, whatever we want to call it, thing with the waves and the bubbles and all that fun stuff. But anyway, Mark, Mary Kay, tell us about kind of your story, how God has shaped your journey.
Yes. Well, this particular chapter started shortly after we retired. It was on a November 3rd afternoon. Mark had had a cough for a while and stubbornly did not want to go to the doctor, but finally he did, came with me to urgent care, and the urgent care doctor took some tests and then sent us directly to the emergency room, where the emergency room doctor ran some tests, came in with a piece of paper and said, gee, I hate to say this, but you've got lung cancer. And here are some doctors you might want to call. And then he walked out.
I had never smoked. I had never been around secondhand smoke. And the shock of hearing the words, you've got cancer, unless a person has been there, you can't even imagine what it's like. Hmm. The doctor left, we shed a tear, and we looked at each other and we said, we have to give this to God. Mm-hmm. Because it is too large to try and even figure out what to do next. So we gave it to God, and I told Mary Kay at that point, I'm not going to pray for myself. I have a great life. If the Lord wants me, I'm ready. And Mary Kay said, but he can leave me here with you. It'll be okay.
That's right. I'm going to pray. It's okay, though, if you want to heal him, God. It's all right with us.
So that was November 3rd. 40 days later, and I love the number 40 for biblical reasons, 40 days later, we found out, and this was after biopsy, I did not have cancer.
Wow.
Nothing close to cancer.
And I remember you.
So at that point, we thought, well, maybe, and I didn't tell Mary Kay this. I've been writing my thoughts every morning. I like to write. I've always written. And I thought, if I journal this, perhaps something will happen with it. So every morning I would get up. I got up before Mary Kay. I'd go in my computer, and we're retired. So I started to write. Some days I wrote a full page. Some days I wrote three sentences. After a while, we said, well, maybe this could be a book. So what did you think when I said this could be a book?
Well, I knew that we wanted to write a book. We've written together as a partner team for quite some time, but I wasn't sure there was a whole book in it.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, except the fact, what's it like when a doctor tells you that you've got cancer.
And then how many days? When did you get the revelation?
Oh, 70 days was the revelation. 40 days we found out I didn't have cancer. But I kept writing every day. At 70 days, I had a vision. I heard a voice. I really can't tell you what it was to us. But when I woke up, I knew that this book could not be about me. And Mary Kay got up the morning a couple hours later and I said, honey, something happened to me last night, and I told the story, and I said, but I've got an idea. I want to put something on Facebook, you know, the easiest thing to do, and say that we're going to write a book, and if you've got a story about you personally having cancer, if you're a caregiver, if you know of somebody that should be in this book, let us know. And I said, hey, I bet we get 3 or 4 stories. 12 hours later, how many?
Over 20.
Wow.
People really wanted to tell their stories. That's right.
So that's what the whole genesis of this book is. It's stories. There's 27 stories in the book. It's almost like a Reader's Digest version because they're short stories. There's 27 stories. Two people who had died already. One was Mary Kay's brother who died of ALS. And another was a very close friend of mine who died of pancreatic cancer. But their stories were very different because it was how they handled things, what they did after they got the diagnosis and before they died, which is very different because you know at that point, especially with those two diagnoses, it's going to be bad.
Right. So these are all first-person stories, literally. Mark would interview them, write down notes from their story, send it back to them to say, did I get it right? And then give it to me to edit. And then we went through the whole book editing process. But through all this, we had some interesting revelations. One of them, T.S., was that people of faith, this was not starting out to be a book about people of faith, but in fact, what you find is people who had faith had a much different journey than those who did not. So of the 26 stories that are in there, 24 people are still, well, they were alive at the time of print. So those who had real strong faith had a different journey than those who did not. We were just interested in what happens to life after you get an alarming medical diagnosis. And that's what we were able to capture in the book.
There's a couple amazing stories. One of my favorites about Sharon. Sharon was she dated a good friend of mine 50 years ago, or 40, I guess 50 years ago now as we get older. And she had breast cancer, had a biopsy or had mastectomy, and about 4 years later had felt something in the other breast. Went to her doctor. He says, yes, doesn't look good. Why don't you come in? We'll do another biopsy. So she's driving to the doctor's office that morning. Hmm. All of a sudden, she feels a zap or something in her good breast. And she says, "Jesus, are you trying to heal me right now?" And laughed about it. T.S., when she got the doctor said, "There's nothing there."
Amen.
At all. And that was a miracle. And the little boy, I think you love this.
Oh, my gosh. A little boy, 4 years old, got cancer. He had a stomach ache and wasn't acting normal. So his mom took him to the doctor. They discovered that he had cancer. And in order to give him the very best care, they had to take him from their home in Virginia to Washington, D.C., where they stayed at the Ronald McDonald House.
Yes.
The family did, while he was in the hospital. And the dad would go running every day. He was a military guy. And every morning he'd go running. And he made a habit of stopping into churches along the way and lighting a candle. One day, a priest at one of these churches saw him, asked him what he was doing. He told his story, and the priest joined him then on his daily runs. And so it became a real time to witness and to get some spiritual counseling along the way.
Yeah,
and to pray. And they prayed and prayed. And bless his heart, he's now a 21-year-old college student, and life is great. But in the meantime, the family needed a lot of support. Ronald McDonald House was fabulous. I don't know if you're familiar with what they do, but it's quite a mission.
It's
fabulous.
It's phenomenal what they do.
Yes.
So, but his story is again one of faith, and faith helping the family through a very difficult time.
And the dad told us about how difficult it was, because you're making lifelong decisions that the husband and wife may not agree on that decision, and how you have to be strong in your faith. You have to be strong in your love for each other to get through those times. And they did. They came through the flying colors. What we love about the book is what we learned from it. The stories go from a 4-year-old little boy to an 85-year-old grandma who had lip cancer, of all things. And if you just hear these stories, you read these stories, they don't take long usually, and you get through them like, wow, what was that all about? It was fun when I was interviewing people, because I'd tell Mary Kay, and then I'd write it and I'd send it back to the people, say, give me your thoughts. Do we need to start over? Does this work? What do you want to change? And it was all came across the board what people wanted to do. And when that happened, I'd say, grab Kleenex. This is a tough one.
Oh, the toughest. You got to hear about Stephen. Stephen was an athletic kid.
Yeah.
And an athlete as an adult.
He played pro baseball. Got drafted. Played pro baseball, minor leagues. And when he was in his mid-30s, he decided he always worked out. He was in good shape. And he knew something was wrong, but he didn't know what. Went to his doctor. Doctor looked at it and said, "Nah, you're fine. You're just, you know, you just were working out too hard." Went back about a week and a half later, and he said, "Doctor, there's something wrong." Well, there was. And he had to have eventually a what?
Stem cell transplant.
I didn't know anybody that had a stem cell transplant. I didn't know anybody that ever had cancer. Yes. All these stories were new to me.
Oh, wow.
Right. So they had to seek worldwide to find a donor who was a perfect match with all the markers. And they found one in Germany. So they ended up flying stem cells from Germany back to the U.S. to L.A., where Stephen was in the hospital. The transplant worked. And Stephen is a colleague of ours. But wait, there's more.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they asked him at the City of Hope Hospital in L.A. They were doing a fundraiser in Nashville, as a matter of fact, where you're going. With all the singers there, and they sent him to represent City of Hope to tell the story and raise money. What he didn't know, all of a sudden, he's looking on the screen, and there he is telling the story. There's someone behind him. City of Hope flew the gentleman from Germany, and that's the first time Stephen ever met the person who gave him life. And I just can't imagine what that would be like.
Wow.
And he's kept in contact with him now. So that's what the story is. But what we learned was so much, because what I did before, I did everything wrong. Because someone say, I've got cancer. Okay, you're in my prayers. That'd be it. I learned, don't do that anymore. What did I learn, huh?
Why don't we pray right now? Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I pray with you right now? And everybody loves it when you pray with them.
No one says no. No one ever says no when you ask them, can I say a prayer right now? And it doesn't have to be an Old Testament prayer. It can be a quick one. Lord, we don't know what to do. My friend T.S. is having a real difficult time. Can you just walk him through this? Give him strength. In your name, Lord. Amen. That's it.
Amen.
But boy, do they feel good. And do you feel good after doing it that way?
That's right.
There's some.
Yeah, we learned that when we say, oh, gee, you're sick. Hey, listen, let me know if you need anything. Well, that puts the burden on the ill person because they don't know how much do you really want to help me? What kinds of things do you want to do? So rather say things like, hey, listen, I want to bring a meal next week. What day is best for you? Or I'm running to the store. What can I pick up for you? Or can I take you to your next appointment? Because guess what? You don't want to go to doctor's appointments by yourself.
No.
You need someone to take notes. You need someone to be your advocate. And that's what you can do to show love to the friend or loved one who is going through a very difficult time.
Yeah, because I went to the cancer hospital in Tampa, and all I heard at the doctor's office was cancer. Nothing else, not another word. In the meantime, Mary Kay is taking copious notes, asking the doctor how to spell this, whatever I had, what I didn't have. And it makes such a difference, but just being there with those people. But when you talk to that many people that have gone through cancer, boy, do you learn. One more point too, is if you don't like your doctor, change. You have to have a doctor that you trust. There was a girl I went to high school with that told us that story, that taught us that story. And she said how the doctor came in, never looked at her, just went through, didn't even look at a piece of paper. Said, okay, we have to do surgery. And she went back to her
primary
doctor and said, I don't like this doctor. She said, I'll get you another one. Got the other doctor, trusted the other doctor. 15 years later, she recommended her mother to that same doctor because now her mother had breast cancer.
Wow.
So the lessons, just the amazing lessons.
Wow. So as you guys have journeyed through this process of learning about all these different stories, and obviously, you know, we're going to talk about your book here in just a minute. And you've basically been laying it out for us. You know, what were some commonalities that you found in the stories of, and, you know, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit about those who had faith tended to fare better, but maybe talk a little bit more about some of the power of faith and prayer specifically in a few of those stories.
I'd like to take this one for just a moment. One of the things that we learned was that you've got to allow people to love on you. So one of the knee-jerk reactions we've learned is that when someone is ill, they want to keep it to themselves because they don't want folks feeling sorry for them or pitying them or making them uncomfortable. But in fact, if you do trust that God wants to use the love and the prayers and support of other people around you, then your journey is so much lighter. And so let people in.
Yeah, that was a story from Heather, who we worked with. And she said that. She always went to baseball games, softball games for her kids' games. And all of a sudden, she didn't have any hair anymore. And she was trying to hide it. And when she let people see her bald, she was energized from the people who loved on her.
Yeah.
So that was one common thing. Another common thing that I saw was the people who have a great faith have a better attitude.
Mm.
Yeah. And everybody said, you have to have a good attitude. Every person, even if they weren't religious, they said, you have to have a better attitude. So when you combine the faith in God and a great attitude, it made such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that is a great question you asked. When people say, I've got my 5-year appointment, or I've got my 1-year checkup, I always said, again, something else I did wrong. Oh, you'll be fine. They're scared to death because they remember the day they were diagnosed with the words, you have cancer. So you have to take a step back. And when you hear your friend say that, ask them, can I go with you? I know it's a tough day for you. I'd like to be there with you. Hold your hand. Give you a ride. Take notes. How can I help with going to the doctor today? Can we have a celebration party when you get home and you get the good news? Little things like that make you such a closer friend to them. And also, then you can pray. Mm-hmm. You pray, dear Lord, Tom's going in today for his one-year checkup. Be with him, Lord. We know this is a tough day. Just let the light of your sun shine on him and make sure the doctor is giving him all the love that a doctor can give. Again, little things like that, but it comes back to a prayer with that person.
Amen. So here's before we get to our wrap-up point, what would be, obviously, you're kind of alluding to some of this already, but what would be maybe a piece of advice for someone who's being diagnosed and does not have faith? Or if you know somebody who's been diagnosed and does not have faith.
Yeah. Pray for them, certainly. If they won't let you pray with them initially, pray for them. Be positive all the time. Just be a beacon of positivity, because I think that speaks Christ through me more than just about anything else. Be positive, be supportive, and be loving. Just love on them.
We don't know what's going to make them turn to Jesus. It may be this. Mm-hmm. This may be the event that changes their whole life and gives them hope for salvation. So don't discount that just because they don't believe in Jesus today.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are starting to run out of time. So before, I know it goes fast.
It does.
It does. It flies by. But before we get off of this program, can you tell people how a couple of things they can get connected to get support in these particular circumstances and how they can get a hold of your book and all of those fun things?
You do the book.
Sure. Okay. The book is called Diagnosed, and it's Diagnosed, and it's on Amazon. And the subtitle is Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. So what we have found is that people who do get diagnosed find inspiration in the book, mm-hmm. and those who are supporting someone who is ill find inspiration in the book as well. And we have a website. It's called diagnosedbook.com, and that's where you can go and see this interview and see some other interviews that we've been blessed to do. And it tells you more about our story and a little bit more about what they'll find in the book.
We've had friends who bought the book and then came back and told us, my friend Tom or Steve or whoever was just announced, came down with cancer. I let them have the book, told them to read it. And I want to finalize by saying one in three men in the United States will have cancer diagnosis. One in two women. We think it's so far-fetched. It happens. It happens all the time.
Amen. It does. But you know, we know God is sovereign, and we know that in all things, we will eventually be united with him, and that is the greatest gift of all. At some point, we will all pass from this life, but we want to pass into his arms and
with him
when that time comes. So my biggest prayer for everyone is that they will become to a knowledge of salvation with the Lord, and that they will walk with him through the entirety of their life and receive that eternal reward that he is so eagerly waiting to give them. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, with wrapping up, I just want to thank everyone for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. I hope this message has blessed you today. Also, I want to thank Mary Kay and Mark Liston for being on the show and sharing their story and all of these pieces that we're all going to experience on some level. We're either going to know somebody that's been diagnosed, we're going to get diagnosed. I mean, it's just, you know, unfortunately it is a part of life, but it's, you know, it's how we face it and how we respond. And responding in faith and basically leaning on the Lord and the people around us that can support us through those type of things, those times, is, I think, vital. And then being able to pray with others that are in that situation, in that season. So thank you guys for being on the show, Mark and Mary Kay.
Thank you, T.S.
Thanks, T.S. God is good all the time.
All the time. He is good. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, we're out of time, folks. And I just want to say thank you again. And as you guys know how I close every session, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.